The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
All right, James Brown, Papa's got a brand new bag. Well, we're a brand new bag in Christ, that's for sure. Hopefully that old bag's gone, the old person, and now we're a new bag. We're new fathers now in Christ. For all you dads again, remember, a lot of us probably our fathers aren't here no more, just like mine. He has passed on and gone with Jesus, and some of yours probably have. And this message is probably for some single parents as well, if you're a mother and a father at the same time. Or a father raising children as well and doing the mother part, it applies. If you're a parent, it applies. Amen? You guys awake this morning? I was playing back there. I go, come on, Lord, wake them up. I played soft today. I was told I was a little loud during practice, so I had to back off. I get crazy back there. You should come hear me in practice time. It just goes crazy. Those things are too loud. They don't go back to the other smaller drum set. All righty. Papa's got a brand new bag. Matthew chapter 15, on honoring the Father today on Father's Day. Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, reads like this. And Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Verse 4, for God said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses her father or mother is to be put to death. And I'll stop right there. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this great morning, this great Father's Day. Thank you for giving us life and to move on as fathers and parents in the life you have called us. I pray that your spirit would just speak to us this morning, that you would open our eyes to fresh new things, and that you would just speak directly to our hearts. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Have your way with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Father's Day. I was wondering where it all started, and I found this short piece on where it all started. Father's Day, it says this. Father's Day became a national holiday in 1966 when President Lyndon Johnson signed a proclamation declaring that the third Sunday of June, as of that day, Mrs. John Dodd of Washington first proposed the idea in 1908 when she wanted to honor her father, William Smart. Her mother died in childbirth when their sixth child was born. He was left to raise his children by himself. And after Mrs. Dodd became an adult, she realized that the selflessness her father had shown as a single parent, Father's Day has become a day not only to honor our fathers, but all men who act as a father figure. So there it is. I always like to backtrack and see where things started, why things happen. You always need to go back. As Christians, at times, you need to act like detectives. You need to question Scripture and go back in time and see where it all started. Of course, we all know it started in Adam and Eve, right? God created man and woman. But it's so interesting that God's first picture was to create who first? The man. Fathers, we have a very important role. I'm going to speak to all of you men mainly. We're special. We're unique. Amen? God formed the man first, and not to beat the woman down, she's the partner, the helper. The other sermon I had last Sunday, I'm not going to go through that one. I'm going to finish that one. We're going to get back to that one. This one's a whole new sermon. I just put together a short one for today so we can all get out of here and go eat with our daddies, okay? Promise that, because I want to go to San Diego and eat myself. Anyways, God made us unique, guys. He gave us a very important role, and I didn't know what that role was myself. Then I started reflecting this week about my own dad. You know, he is gone now, but I started thinking about him. You know what? My father had a lot and tons of integrity. Tons of integrity. Yeah, my dad in his younger years drank, but he wasn't a drunk. And he smoked, and he quit. In his older years, he quit. But as I started thinking about my dad, I had him all wrong. You know, I thought my dad was a hard figure. He was just too mean to us. Didn't let us do anything. I never thought he really loved me. I didn't feel those. I don't remember the hugging, the holding me as a child growing up, as a little boy in the home. But I was so wrong. One of my oldest brothers, one day, we're all at mom's one evening, and my oldest brother popped out these old films, like the when they had these kind of cameras. And we're all little, and it was an Easter film, and there the camera turns on. It's our house where my parents, my mom's still at, and they're still residing at. And it's primer, and we were poor. There was dirt all around the house, junk everywhere, but that was our happy home. And the door pops open, and my dad has four brothers and two sisters or three sisters right around there. And they were all there. They're from Oxnard. There's some San Fernando and the ones here in the valley. Man, we're a big family. So anyways, the front door opens. Like 50 kids are walking out in the camera. You know how kind of breaks and they're waving. They're all acting goofy. All my cousins and friends and like 40 kids. And I was wondering, where am I at? And you could see my dad. You make sure the last kid gets out. And he's holding a kid in his arm, closes the door, and he waves at the camera. Guess who's big? Headed kid he was holding. They freeze. They go, who is this kid? It was me. You know, I never knew my dad held me. Because as growing up, my dad was kind of a hard man, hard worker. But I don't remember the holding me and carrying me. He was carrying me. I brought a tear to my eye this week. You know what, Dad? I was so wrong about you. Now that he's gone, you know, I didn't get the chance to tell him that. He was a great dad. You know one thing growing up in that home, I never ever heard my dad do. These are certain things men need to practice. Husbands, I never heard my dad yell at my mom. I never heard my dad curse at my mom. I never, ever heard my dad disrespect my mom. And I asked my mom, and she said, you're right. He never did, even when you guys weren't in the room. Yeah, they disputed. Yeah, they had their differences. But my dad, I grew up almost hating him, watching the news all the time with his hand here. I said, I don't want to grow up to be like my dad. And guess what? Now I want to be like my dad. How did I figure that out? Because I started studying scripture, what a father should look like, a godly father. And my dad fit that example perfectly. He wasn't perfect, but his integrity, man, just shines on me now. And I'm growing up saying, I want to be like my dad because he loved everyone. He was about family and unity. He loved people. He liked the family together. So that's what I want to grow to be like. Well, I'm up pretty kind of old. I'm up there. But that's what I want to be like my dad now. My dad was a perfect example of what God intended it to be. A great father, a great husband, and a great friend. I was into drawing, and my dad was there at all these contests I would win as a kid in school. He was always there, and I never thought he was there. I was so wrong. And some of us, you know, we miss it. We'll miss it. You see, right now it's a time to reflect and stop and evaluate and celebrate the role of a father. Today's Father's Day. God bless you, fathers. You got an important role. And it's not easy. It's going to be hard, guys. But you guys hang in there. It's a time to thank our dads and remind them we love them. But what does the Bible say about the role with our father in our relationship? It provides plenty of inspiration and guidance. Honoring fathers is an important theme throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament. See, this is a commandment. Jesus is preaching out of the Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, I think, or 8, about honoring your father and your mother. It's a commandment. He's not just asking us to be good dads. He's not asking us to do the role of what he intended it to be. He's commanding us. But it comes with a promise. It comes with a promise. A promise of what? Of good things to come. See, some fathers are easy to love. Some dads seem to be terrific and not too hard to honor. While some fathers are harder to love, I know that. That's where I had it wrong. I wanted to love him, but I felt separate from him. But I had it wrong. My heart was wrong. I was listening to my friends and where I hung out with growing up. We always down-talked our dad and mom in our little groups. And that's what pulled me away. It was never my dad. It was me. It was self. And maybe some of you this morning don't have a good relationship with your dad. You can make it right. And if he doesn't want to, it's okay. You've already made your peace. Dad, I love you. For however he receives it, you've done your part as a godly father. As what God intended it to be, the role of the father. Amen? Some may have not been dependable dads. And I'll stand up here transparent to you. I was a parent. I have two previous marriages. We're just living together, as they call it. I have a boy that's 32 and a daughter that's 21. I was never there for them. This was before Christ. I raised them up, but I left mama at a young age. And I'm not proud of what I'm saying. And that's what God did not call us to be. We need to stick it out, guys. Today's world, you know, they say marry, but sign an annulment. Maybe we'll try it for a year. If we don't like to be married, we'll just leave each other. God didn't call it that way. He said, till what? Till death do you part. And the two will start, you grow with each other, learn from each other. But fathers, we're the leading role. We are to be the leading role. And some dads weren't that good. Some may even left when you were young. This is a good one. Some were probably in the home, but not there at the same time. You know what I mean? And that's where I had it wrong too. My dad was there, but I thought he was not loving me, and I was separating myself from him. But I had his role wrong. I had it all wrong. Now I've learned as an older man in learning scripture how God intended it to be. Regardless of what your relationship is with your father, you need to honor him. What he has done or what he has not done, you need to honor him. You know what honor means? It doesn't mean you're going to listen to me. You're my slave, boy. Come here, son. No, honor means you're going to respect him, listen to him. And folks, sometimes as parents, we don't have the right answers, but scripture does. But sometimes just hear them out. That sometimes didn't make sense. When I started learning about Christ, but you know what? When I came to Christ, I would visit my dad in the later years just before he passed, and I'd hold his hands, I'd kiss him, I'd tell him I love him, because I had a second chance to show my dad the real love of a son and how I honored him and respected him and how I disrespected him in prior time before Christ. See, God's word is what taught me to love my dad and the figure he played, the role he had. I didn't know about it until scripture woke me up. As a son, and now as a father and a grandparent. You see, it's in scripture, guys, men, fathers. It's just where it's at. And we want to kick the Bible to the curb and not apply it. Well, that's why a lot of dads struggle. That's why a lot of homes are having their personal issues, because you're not going to God's word. This is where it's at in his word. This is the prime role for the father. And when I started applying this with my wife along my side when she was here, and I was growing up, visiting dad, I wanted to sponge it in. That's why I was so excited. Last Sunday I spoke. I want to do a conference on marriage, and I'm still praying for it, that it would come, because I have so much to give about marriage, about what I went through as a son and a husband and a father and a friend in the home. It's very important, and this is a way you apply it through God's word. It's only through God's word that it will work. You cannot do it on your own, fathers. You know, the man is the priest, as I said last time I spoke, the priest of the home. And today's society, culture, time, you know what they're teaching men? Dad's pride. No, dad, you're the proud, you're the bad one, you're the tough one. No one, they got to do what you say. That's so not God. That's pride. And pride is not of God. God's against that. And pride comes before the fall, God says. You're going to be all tough and the macho man in the home, but your time will come. God will let you. But the time will come, fathers, when he'll have to squash you. He squashed me for a little while till the light bulb went on. Come on, son, I love you, God was saying. Frank, I want to help you. I want you to be that son like your dad. I want you to honor me and your wife and your home. Respect them. And I started learning through God's word. But that's the only way you can do it. Scripture says to honor our father. So what's my first point? My first point is this. The first point for a father is to be the role model, the priest, as I said. It says in Deuteronomy 6:2, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Wow, who's that applying to first? Who's that applying to first? God's talking to who? To you, being the father. See, we need God's word, dads. This is what you need to apply first. Then it goes to your children and your family, of course. And their promises are in there. If you read closely, first you got to fear him. Again, like I've said, it's not the fear like, oh, I'm afraid of God. He's a big monster, cuckoo. No. He's saying, I love you. I'm a good God. Just listen to what I'm trying to teach you and learn from it. That's the promise. Good things. And some men in our pride, oh, God can't help me. God's never going to change me. Yes, he can. Hello, look at this. Look what God has done. There's the promise. And as long as you may live, keeping all these decrees, that what? That I give you so that you may enjoy long life. Does it say you're going to struggle and always fight and bicker? We can, but we can choose to enjoy long life. That's another promise. We get to live longer. People always get my age wrong, and I praise God for that. I don't even feel my age. I act like a 12-year-old sometimes. If you really got to know me, and some of you do. I'm 50, and I feel 30. There's guys at work, my friends from the world that are still drinking and partying. They look tore up. They go, Frank, what are you taking, Botox? Let me have some or what? I go, here it is. This is what it is. This is my Botox. Jesus Christ, fill yourself with this. Fill your soul with this. Fill your flesh with this. You'll see the change. It's God's word that refreshes, replenishes us, man. And it strengthens you, and you'll enjoy long life. I want to see my grandchildren grow up. My wife, something she wanted, but God had other plans. She wanted to see her daughters have children. But he's given me that opportunity. And I'm going to take it. I'm going to run with it. I want to be that priest, that role that he's called us to. There's another scripture in the same book, a few verses down, Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Again, God is speaking. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at your home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Is that sometimes talking about God and praying with each other as a family? Is that sometimes? That's almost all the time. Guys, listen, I know a lot of us work. And I like what Jerry was saying. There's a lot of technology today. A real quick email to your wife or a friend or a text. Yeah, I'm praying for you. God bless you. Say a short prayer. May the Lord bless you today. Love you in Christ. We can be praying all day. Just make sure the boss is looking the other way. And text it real quick. I do it all the time. I get a lot of texts throughout the day. So I say, I got to go check some of the warehouse. And I'm texting with people, praying for them. They'll call me real quick and pray for me. I'll take it. Heck yeah, I'll go hide behind a pallet. Pray for me. Go. Hurry, because he's not here yet. Once I hear a truck, because I unload trucks sometimes, I put it away. Because I want to honor God in my job too. Man, take care of your jobs. That's something God gave you. It's important so you can provide for your family. Man, it's important. God is commanding us today. Oh, the Mexican saying, oh, do it mañana. I'm telling you, you're going to learn Spanish with me. Mañana means tomorrow. That's an easy one. I know a lot of you know it. Oh, we'll do it mañana. No, mañana, compa. Today, God says. And what does he tell us to do after we're applying it? Our children, your home, your family. Our kids are watching you. I don't care how old they are. My daughters are in their 20s now. They're watching me. And everywhere they go, they hear my name. They're like, Dad, we can't go anywhere. They always bring you up. It's the role I'm playing. I want to play the role Christ has called me to be. I want people to see Jesus. And when my girls go out there, they're going to hear about Jesus as well. And I pray for them. One of them moved away to El Paso. I pray for her every day. We don't have much contact a lot of times because she's busy, I'm busy, whatever. But I pray for her. And she sent me a gift for Father's Day. She never forgets me. She's way over there. And I miss her, my little baby girl. I got to see my biological daughter last night at a swimming party. We're sitting there, a bunch of people, and my pride was kicking in because the relationship ended ugly with me and my ex because of her doing. And I love my daughter and my grandchildren. And I said, the heck with it. There were so many people around her and people. I didn't care what they were going to think. I went up and hugged her and told her, I love you, me, how you been? I hugged my grandchildren. I cried a little bit. She was happy. Brought a smile to my daughter. That's what breaks it, love. Not pride, man. Don't sit there and say, I'm not going to do it. You got to go do it. How else will they see Christ? And everyone around there knows I'm a pastor. And I'm sure for those few seconds I didn't go up to tell her hello, I could hear him. Oh, look, he's a pastor. He calls himself a Christian. He doesn't even say hi to his daughter. Because I know she wasn't going to come to me. I'm her father, man. And I'm the example. I'm the role. I'm the priest. So I went up there and hugged her. I didn't care about people around me. I love my daughter. I hope this is challenging you, fathers. Because it challenged me. And if it challenged me, I'm going to give it to you too. It's for all of us. We have an important role, guys. You need to amplify it in your home first. It starts in the house. Man, if you're not doing it at home, it's never going to change. I'll tell you from experience. If you're not practicing to be a godly father, husband, coming to church, staying plugged in, praying, reading scripture as much as you can, you're going to have issues at home. Listen, when I started growing more in Christ, and my wife, bless her heart, I always talk about her, can't forget her. She would come on me for nothing. And I'm standing there going, Lord, I know I didn't do nothing wrong. But you know what? I love her, and I'm going to take it. Yes, you're right, Mija. I'll go wash the car again. I missed the spot. Yes, I'll go wash the dishes. I know you're tired. Yeah, I'll go get the clothes out of the hamper, honey. It's okay. And I'm thinking, I just did it yesterday and the day before, and she wants me to do it again? That's pride. See, God didn't call you to love your wife that way. She's your crown, man. You do what God is telling you to do through her, even when you don't like it. You'll be blessed. You'll live longer. You'll see your home grow, and you'll see your grandchildren grow. He promised it. I know I'm going to see my grandchildren grow. I know I'm going to be in a wheelchair one day preaching in a little water church and still not shutting up for Jesus with the air and grass and everything. And anyways, I'm going to keep going as long as God will let me keep going. I want to honor him first. I want to show him how much I love him to be that father and dad and role figure he called me to be. Is it easy, man? No. It's never easy. But that's the challenge. God calls us, we're his gold. Man, you're like gold. What do you do with gold to refine it? What does the goldsmith do when you bring him all your jewelry? Where does he take it first? The fire. Dad, sometimes you're going to be on fire. You're getting refined. You're learning more things about your wife. You're learning more things about your kids because you're going through it. But a lot of times it's, man, we just kick it to the curb. We don't want to hear it and take off. Or close ourselves up, go cut the grass, or wash the car. I don't want to hear it. No, you handle it. You're the father. You're the priest. You're the leader. That's your role. Take the reins and show your wife you're a godly husband and that you're a man. You know, real men cry and real men confess their errors and mistakes. That's a godly father. A lot of men don't want to tell their wives or their children that they messed up or I did this wrong. I could have said it better. That's where we struggle, men. I learned through Bible, and I wish my daughter was here. Those times I sat with them and said, you know what, mija? I said the wrong things. Can you forgive me? Sometimes crying because I didn't want to apologize. I'll be honest. But that's the only way to be a godly father in the godly role that God called you to be, that dad. And that's what's going to strengthen you in your wife, and your kids will start seeing you differently. They're going to see it right through you because, man, we like to hide stuff. There's a transparency, but a black sheet behind it. No, don't look back here. Don't look behind here. No. We need to be transparent, and it sets you free. You have nothing to hide no more after that as a father. They know who you are. My daughters, they can tell them anything they'll hear out there. They're going to say, no, that's not like my dad. That's what I did at the party yesterday. I was transparent. People were just, I could have seen it today in Facebook, Twitter, all right. I shut them all up through God's power. What could they say on Facebook today? Other than that, oh, he got up and told her hi. That's all they're probably going to put. Because it's sad to say, but airwaves are being used for the wrong things. That's a whole other subject, but it saddens me. You know, we can get on Facebook and beat people up, Twitter. It's wrong. We're supposed to love each other. And God called us to be those roles. So, fathers, you're the role model, first of all. You're the priest. You're the spiritual leader. You're called to that. They're watching you. Your wife and your children are watching you. Even your neighbors. How many of you got those neighbors that are always watching you? I have those neighbors. There he goes again. Every time my door closed, I see blinds open. But I appreciate it because I'm gone out of the house a lot, so they kind of take care of my house too. So I pray for them. I pray for their salvation, but I thank God because they watch my house. And one of the new neighbors, I told you about the German shepherds they have, the two big black ones. I haven't told you about that one. I had to make friends with the dogs, and they're mean. How did I do it? Bought a big old bag of doggy jerky snacks, and they're my friends now. So now when I get home from work, they're at the gate waiting for me. One almost climbs over the fence. He's so big, his paw, like, feed me my snack. I made friends. I can even touch them. Anyone else that passes by there, they want to tear them up. I got to get smart. Dads, be smart. Buy them snacks. And I'm glad for those neighbors. I had dogs, and I live kind of in a rough area, and they've stolen some things out of the yard, nothing big, but God brought those dogs for me. I believe, because they're my friends now, and I've always liked German Shepherds. They're pretty dogs. Men, how many men like dogs? Raise your hand. I love dogs. See, it's a man thing. Yeah, and those tough guys with the pit bulls. Come on, pull me so you look strong. You know what, guys? It's an important role. It's an important role, fathers. Take it serious. Read God's word. Apply it. Be that role model. Secondly, God has called us to be the trainers of our home. To train up who? To train up who? Our children, our family. Proverbs 22:6 says this. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I just preached it earlier. My daughters go out everywhere, and they're hearing Christ. They hate it sometimes. Oh, you know my dad too. Oh, man. God's never going to let them go. I don't care how much and where they go. They'll never forget God's word. Even if they walk away from God in their teenage or 20s or 30s, they're going to come back. And if they don't come back, God is still speaking to them. Because of you, dads. And fathers, again, I said it in my last sermon. Some of your prayers aren't being answered because you're not loving your children the way you should. Or your wife, and your prayers are hindered. That's biblical. But when you become transparent, when you start holding your reins and wanting to snap back, instead being that good role as a dad and showing the love of Christ, your prayers will be answered. That's the promise. That's the promise, man. Be those godly men he has called you to be. Be that role. Be that trainer for your family. The provider. We provide for our family. See, we have to work. And sad to say, now economy, times, a wife has to work too in some cases for some of us. When my wife was okay, she helped with my bills because we had a lot of bills. She liked spending. So we both worked, but we made it. We weren't rich, but we just got by. But she was helping me. But man, we were called to work. Where did he put Adam? Where did God put Adam? The first thing he did before he gave him the woman. Get to work, buddy. Put him in the Garden of Eden to work. There's a lot of guys that don't want to work today. I have to say that. A lot of them. And then when we get new employees at work, they all want the easy job. They see me in the office, almost cold sometimes. Because hey, dude, how do I get a job in here? Well, you got to start at the bottom. You got to go to the back and clean trash and do everything else everyone else did to get up here. And some quit. Some get mad and leave. We think we should just be put on top. No. You got to start at the bottom and work at it. That's the father's role. Work at it. You got an important role, fathers. And God's got your back. And so does Remnant. The pastors here, we're praying for you. I pray for a lot of you by name. And I'm sure Jerry and Jeremiah do too. It's our mission. It's our duty. We have to be praying for you, the congregation, the sheep of Remnant. You are our sheep. We are your pastors. So we need to be praying for you men and women and your children. It's very important to me. Some of you are at the top of the list. Some of you are in the middle. It all depends. But I don't have preferences. I love you all. And those of you that I know by name, trust me, we're praying. Pray for me. I need all the prayer I can get because I get attacked too. I'm alone, you know. I want to have a partner one day soon. I don't know. I don't know what God has for me. I just know I need to keep preaching Christ and being the role to my children that are still watching me. You that are still watching. People see us. But I don't want to be consumed by the things of the world and do how the fathers think. That, you know, even TV programs, they're blowing parenthood out of the water, man. I hate those shows that have fathers and mothers in these talk shows and sitcoms. It's so corrupt. It's so sad. You know, some of them are funny and cute, but look what's behind it. What's being taught to our new generation? That you can have two dads and two moms in one home, and that's not of God. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Because if they have a problem with me, they should have a problem with God then. Because I know God's got my back. If I need to go to prison for saying things like this, I'll go to prison and preach Jesus in prison. My wife would always tell me, "That's loco, I know you would." Loco means crazy, okay? And there's some more Spanish. She knew I didn't care. Because if I go to jail, I'm going to preach Jesus. I'll become a pastor in there. I'll bring my whole block in and the Lord will save them. We're called to be that role model. We're called to be training people up, especially our family. To train up indicates the first instruction that a father and a mother give a child. The children's early education should be the training in God's word and the role as parents. See, a lot of us wonder why our kids talk that way or how they came out that way. Well, it starts in the home, folks. It starts in the home. I'm sorry, their children grew up watching us and they're going to learn from us. Oh my gosh, well, how did they learn to speak that way? We didn't teach them that. Well, what programs are they watching? What kind of friends do they have? Do you know the friends they have? Who they're hanging with? That's where it's at, folks. And if your kids are still under 10 or 8, right now is the time. Hone them in. Show them what kind of friends they should have. Train them, fathers. And you, by your example, show them when your friends come over to do whatever. We hang out as pastors and with the men sometimes at Tommy Spears' house. We watch games. And the kids come, when the game's over, the parents come. The kids are watching all these men hanging out. They don't see beer or smoke or other women that shouldn't be there in that same room. They see a unity of men hanging out and praying. You can ask my daughter Stephanie. She's always catching me praying. I pray loud in my house. It's my house. She don't like it. She can move out. She probably puts on her iPad and cranks her music. I don't know. Because she always comes out with those white ear pods in her ear. Why do you have those on? You're praying too loud. But guess what? Lately, my daughter Stephanie, she, on her own, she'll walk by and say, Dad, I was reading a verse in my room the other day. I'm like, yes. Oh, really? I'm acting like I'm not excited. But inside, I'm like, yes. See, I'm being that role. Training her up. She lives with me. She's going to hear about Jesus. She had doubts about coming back. She came in. She was like living like this. Hey, Dad, what's up? Hey, Dad, what's up? But now we talk. We have dinner. We go out. She's supposed to take me to San Diego to do so. I'm a reminder. I'm not going to let her forget. Be that role model. Show them. Train them up. We're to encourage our children. To protect them. That's my third point. We're encouragers. Father, you're an encourager, Johnny. You're an encourager. You're an encourager of your father. You're an encourager. Frank, you're an encourager. Hey, you got my name. Cut it out. Fathers, you're an encourager. But what kind of encouragement are you giving your wife and your children? Are you lifting them up? Dad, I messed up in my school. And oh, you did. Poor, no. Sit down with them and pray with them and tell them, son, daughter, you can do this. We're going to help you. Let's see what you got. Oh, but today's homework is hard, huh, parents? I don't understand some of it. When my daughters were in high school, the math they had, I couldn't help them. I was just praying, you're on your own. I prayed for you. You got this. Then walk away. Gosh, Lord, I don't know their math today. Their science or history is way advanced. My daughters were always 4.0 straight A's through prayer. And because of the role me and my wife were showing them, we prayed for our daughters so much when they lived at home. Straight A's on their own. Because again, I didn't know what they're showing me, so I would just pray for them. But I believe they were going to be successful. Fathers, talk to your children, lifting them up. You're going to be successful, son. You work at it. And fathers, don't make this mistake. Don't train them up to be what you want them to be. Train them up to what they want to be. That's where we made a mistake, I'm going to say, from the 90s back in parenting. And I've seen it in life experiences where parents are forcing their sons to play possibly basketball when they want to do football. Because the parent liked basketball, not football. No, you train them and encourage them and push them to do what they want to grow up to be. And you'll see the blessings flow. And you pray with them. You put your little hand over their, wherever they're back, and you pray with them. If it's even a minute prayer, I know a lot of men struggle with, I don't know how to pray, man. What do I say? Express your heart. Come here, son. I don't know how to pray. Those pastors pray for days, but I'm going to give it a shot. God, I love my son. Make him successful. There's a prayer. Takes a few words, man. And on top of that, you're showing them the role model that you're the priest, that role model, that leader God's called you to be. So when they grow up, guess what they're going to do with their sons and daughters? They're not going to forget. Trust me. They're going to pray with their children as well. Because God said all the way down to the fourth generation, he's going to remember us. I get passionate about this role because I see so many fathers that are just deadbeat. I was the deadbeat dad, but the power of God's Spirit taught me new things and continually does. It taught me something at that party yesterday. He squashed my pride out real quick. The Holy Spirit was right here, man. Go tell her hi. Go tell her, okay. Hey, but I did it, okay? But it wasn't like that. But yeah, I could literally, I sat there maybe 5 minutes, possibly 10. And my daughter and everyone's laughing. I could just hear the Holy Spirit. Go tell your daughter hi. She's right there. Look at your grandkids. They'd run by like, oh, gosh, I want to grab them and hold them. And I kicked my pride to the side. I said, what kind of father am I being? Let me put the pastor role aside. Let me put the, as Jerry says, a holier than thou aside. Let me show Christ to the public here at this party that most of them didn't know Christ. And I walked up there with all the love that I could. And she responded. She smiled. She teared a little too. It was beautiful. And I felt better after when it sat down. I felt like I was in cloud nine. The release comes. See, man, we'll carry loads because we want to, because we're not breaking that curse that some families have. And the only thing that'll break it is love. Fathers, we need to learn to love, period. And some of us, probably our parents are gone or we were raised with another family member. Well, love on them. Love on them. My wife left and I was, all she said was take care of the girls. And I'm doing the best I can. But I will not force them to do what they don't want to do. God will convict them. I can't. I just got to be that role. Provider, the protector, the priest. I just need to believe God and trust God. The role. The encourager, Ephesians 6:4 says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Harsh conduct will always lead a child, will only serve to nurture evil in their heart. That means, dads, you're talking hard to your kids and they're going to hate you. You're nurturing evil in them. The word provoke means to irritate, exasperate, rub the wrong way. Sometimes we, as dads, we can rub our kids the wrong way. And you know, it's sad to say, and I'll say it from my experience personally, we like it because we feel dominant, the alpha. There's only one alpha, and his name is the Lord God Almighty. God himself, Elohim. We're not the alpha. We're an image of God put there to be a dad and a husband. Of that home. You're no alpha. You're that tool God chose you for your wife and your children. Amen? Was that an easy one? That's not too hard, huh? I could have been meaner and said harsher things. Fathers, it's important to play your role. And God's called you, man. The woman that's sitting next to you, the children you have, perfectly planned by God. We think we chose it. We made it all happen. We met her at the motor view, at the park, or wherever. It was God. I don't care where you were or saw her. And you guys, when you first saw her, oh, I got to meet her. It was all God. The Holy Spirit had you by the ear. Yeah, that's the wife you're going to marry. And that's the wife sometimes you're probably not going to like, but you're going to learn. Jesus says what? Bring back your first love. Guys, I'll tell you over and over again, the last 2 years with my wife, I fell all over in love again. I loved her so much. God gave me a new love. And I'd feed her and just take care of her. I loved getting home. I was tired, my dirty. I'd take a quick shower, throw my smelly clothes outside, and I'm just like a servant, man. And when she didn't want something, I'd get her something else. And if she didn't like the second thing, I'd get her the third thing, whatever, as far as I needed to go. Bless her heart. Because she was in pain. Oh, I didn't want soup. I wanted a sandwich. Bring her the sandwich. Oh, I didn't want a sandwich. Bring me the soup. Oh, I got to get the soup back out. That's love, man. That's the role. And when you start exasperating your children or being mean to them, of course your wife's not going to be happy with you as well. Because the mother's love to a child is way different than the father's. And dads, we try to raise our children with pride. And that's the wrong way. You need to raise your children with providing for them. Not shooting them down. Lift them up. And guys, this is a good tip. Fathers, when I grew more in Christ and I was loving on my wife's daughters, because they're not my biological daughters, but I raised them. They're my daughters, not in Christ's eyes. Oh, man. When I started loving her daughters, she started loving me. Things started changing for me. Oh, I can't do this. All I got to do is love my wife and treat her children good. I'm going to love them. But it was all God. See, it was not me that taught me to love these two girls because they were split at one time. I loved my biological daughter more than the two girls I raised because I was in the flesh. I was pride, and I hadn't learned what God's word really meant. So the Holy Spirit, here he comes again, Frank. You got to sit all three girls down in front of your daughter and tell them you love them all the same. You're going to raise them all the same. And that took it away. And boy, did my wife change towards me. She saw it happen. She couldn't believe what I did. Broke my daughter's heart, my biological daughter, but it took time. She got over it. She lived with us a few years through high school. She didn't want to be with her mom. She said, sure, come on in. I never shut the door to my children. She came right on in, and I loved her just the same. But I played that role. that important role, love. And I'll say this boldly, man, to you, fathers. Some of you, and I'm not going to say who you are, but fathers, you have a hard time saying, I love you. Especially to your children, maybe to your wife. Say it to your children too. Hug them, man. Love them. Don't beat them down and think you're the father figure like the alpha I was talking about. Show them your humbleness, your humility. So fathers, be the role model, the priest. Be the trainer and protector, the encourager and the provider. And I choke up because my dad taught me this, and it took me years to learn it. And now that he's gone, I reflect on it, and I think of him. I want to be like my dad. I want to be like my heavenly father first, Jesus, but I also want to be like my dad. He was the greatest man ever. Think about your dads. For some of you that know your fathers and can remember when you were a kid and bringing you up. No matter how bad he was or the mistakes he made, he wasn't perfect either. But you know what? Where I was blessed, I never saw any imperfections in my dad. He was the perfect role model. If I put mine next to dad, it's like he's a million feet up and I'm 10 feet under to come close to him. But the Lord's teaching me. He's training me up to train up my family. Now he's calling you, fathers. That's why you're here at Remnant. Fathers, it's kind of an empty room this morning, but this message was for all you fathers that were here today. Start playing your role. Start doing your part. Start providing for your loved ones. Amen? Worship team, come on up. I'll stop there. Everybody stand, please, and we'll close in prayer. Next time I get up here, I want to finish the sermon I was doing that I didn't finish when I was beating the dads up. But we will get through it. Amen? And I'm glad we decided as pastors to keep this talk about the home and family and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. It's important. Why is it important? Because it's important to God. He perfectly planned it from the beginning, and we have shot it down up to date. The world, and it's been consumed with all the wrong morals or wrong standards. Our governments and political things are corrupting it. And we're the only future. We're the future church of Jesus Christ. Are you ready when he comes back? Are you going to be that role model? Are you going to be standing in that moment of glorifying God to your family and your loved ones when he shows up? Amen? We need to be that people that Christ separated us to live and to be like God's image. Amen?
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You